weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk close to thee. Just across I'll walk with thee.
The message you are about to listen to comes from the Mountain of Fire and Miracles Ministries, which is a ministry dedicated to apostolic praying, signs, and miracles. We ask you now to open your heart and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. God bless you as you listen.
This world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? Let me walk close to thee.
Each step I take just leads me closer home. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hands, he leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He will ever lead me on until that day when my last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begins to waver when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and I look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. Each step I take, I know my Lord will guide me to higher ground. He will ever lead me on until one day when my last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Trust in God, no matter come what may, because life eternal is in his hand. He holds the key that will open up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until one day when my last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Each step I take, I know my Lord will guide me to higher ground. He will ever lead me on, until one day when my last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Each step I take, He will lead me closer home.
This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity?
Today, we're looking at another kind of fire, which the Bible calls the lake of fire, or which some people call hell fire. The lake of fire, which is the greatest prison in the whole universe. Because there is no prison on earth here without entrance and exit. But the one to hell fire only has entrance, there's no exit. You don't come out once you're inside. So it's something we should all seriously look at. If God shows believers a picture of hellfire, nobody will backslide again. It shows you a picture of heaven, it shows you a picture of hellfire. There is nothing anybody can say to you that will make you backslide. Yeah. Nothing can annoy you and you say, I'm not coming to church again. When you get to the place, get to heaven, you find those you thought will not go there. Get to hellfire, you see those you don't expect to be there. Then you will know that you need to order your life aright. Let's look at the outline. And let's all read our memory verse. It's already written there, Matthew 10:28. Let's read together. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Can you read it again? So there are two things that are destroyed in hell. What are those two things? Soul and body. That's why it's the greatest prison in the universe. If you take a physical prison here and you lock up somebody with witchcraft spirit inside quickly, by night his soul is still going about doing whatever he or she wants to do, but not this one. Let's look at the introduction. People don't like to hear about hell, but many people enter hell every day. Out of the 120,000 that die every day, most end up in hell. People simply do not understand how terrible hell is. Just because you have never seen hell does not mean it does not exist. Now the Word of God gives us a penetrating, comprehensive, and accurate description of what hell is. Before eternity starts, and I pray that you not miss that one. Yes. Satan, sinners, fallen spirits will be cast into the lake of fire. There are 162 texts in the New Testament alone speaking of the doom of hell. 70 of these were spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. That is, Jesus loves us so much and he warns us seriously about that place. I'll be quite honest with you, the greatest warnings about hellfire was given by Jesus himself. Because he doesn't want any of us to go there. I mean, I made up my mind since many, many years ago that I'm not going to hellfire. I made up my mind. I'm not going there. The word translated hell in the Bible are three. One Hebrew word known as Sheol, and two Greek words known as Hades and Gehenna. The Hebrew word Sheol and the Greek word Hades refer to the same place. It is the place of the dead, the abode of the departed spirit of sinners, a place of torment. But the real hell is called Gehenna. The Bible says both Sheol and Hades at the end of the day will not be cast into the Gehenna itself. So when you end up proving this is where Hades is, this is where Sheol is, the Bible says when you finish all your proof, everything will still go back to the lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 20, I'm reading from verse 11. The stage is already set. The judgment seat of the white throne judgment has been set up. Let us see a graphic description of that one in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The terribleness of the face of the man sitting on the throne was something the heavens and earth could not behold. They fled because they could not stand it. No wonder the Bible says, the day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? What happened in verse 12? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Verse 14. And death and hell themselves now were now cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15 is the key verse. And whosoever, pastor, whosoever, chorister, whosoever, president, king, whosoever, usher, whosoever, general vicar, whosoever, general superintendent, whosoever, deliverance minister, was not found written in the book of life, person will be cast into the lake of fire. Close your eyes. Lord, if my name is not there, light it tonight. I don't want to enter into the lake of fire. It's better for you to cry to the Lord now. You may be in this Bible study and your name is nowhere to be found. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It is whether your name is there or not there. In Jesus' name we pray. Beloved, there is only one thing that sends men to hellfire. There are not even two, just one. And that thing is what the Bible calls sin. Sin is any thought, word, action, omission, or desire that is contrary to the law of God. Thought, word, action, omission, desire that is contrary to the law of God. Meaning that where you are sitting down there on your seat, you can be guilty of rape. You can be guilty of stealing. You can be guilty of adultery and fornication without standing up. For sin is any thought, word, action, omission, or desire contrary to the law of God. And when God begins to judge sin, God judges your motive,
God judges the inner pineness of your heart. God judges why you are doing what you are doing. I want you to understand this very well. It is because I don't want mosquito to be biting my legs. That's dressing like this. But in your heart of hearts, the reason you are doing it is what God will judge. A man can hide before the judge of the earth here. You cannot hide before the judge of the whole earth. There are many church members who are not prepared for heaven at all. There are many church members who are directly on their way to hellfire without any bus stop. There are many pastors who are as far away from heaven as heaven is even far from the earth. There are many people who call themselves men of God, but who never have a touch of heaven. I want you to understand this very well. So this is why salvation is an individual affair between you and God. Can hide from man, cannot hide from God. Any sin in your life is rebellion against a holy God. It's rebellion against our Creator. You are telling God, you pitch your battle in that area, I will pitch my battle in this area. And people are saying, we're expecting the power of God to move in your life. We're expecting you to be the mover of mountains in this place. But when you have been stagnated and bound by sin, you cannot do it. Listen very carefully. This is an end time church. So if you are here, you still want to be playing with your sin, you have still not found your church right. If you are here in this church, and you are still living in a known sin without repenting, you are still not serious yet. Sometimes when services here close, you see small boys and small girls roaming around the street. Person who cannot afford two pairs of shoes, he wants to marry. They're just sinning. And as far as that sin is their heart, I must tell you solemnly, the candidate of hellfire, unless the person repents. It is pure foolishness to think that you can play with sin, for sooner or later, the sin will bite the person, cause destruction in the life of the person, and send the person to hellfire. I pray that as many people as are here tonight, and they are already moving at a fast speed towards hellfire, the Lord will arrest that movement today. And they will come to their senses like the prodigal son who came to his senses on time. He will have been thoroughly destroyed. The Yorubas have a proverb. The dog that will get lost, one way or the other, will not hear the whistle of the hunter. But you are hearing the whistle now. And if after hearing the whistle, he gets lost, the fault is yours. A good description of hellfire was something that I saw many years ago. One man was going to supply a cage of chicken to a company for Christmas. He had about 300 of those layers and those chicken there. And the gate was securely locked. It was an iron cage. One way or the other, one trailer of petrol ran into that vehicle. The tanker caught fire, the truck carrying the chicken caught fire. The driver of the truck carrying the fuel ran away. Yeah. The one that was carrying the chicken ran away. Fire enveloped the cage of the chicken. Beloved, it's a terrible sight to see those birds roasting alive, struggling to come out, flying and banging their heads. You could see the pain. Although they were animals, you could see the pain. That is the description of what hellfire is. It's a place people may smile when they are going inside. But by the time they get in, there is no getting out, and it's torment forever. You strike a piece of match, light it under your finger. You can see that only unless you are possessed, that's why you can withstand it for 5 minutes. Or you take pin, stick it to your body, very hot one, put to your body. Unless you are really, the person is really something else. That's why you won't feel the tinge of pain. Now imagine when that happens day and night. The person cannot rest. You cannot sleep. And the person keeps crying and crying. The Bible tells us, don't go there. It was not constructed for you. When we say, you this power, die! What we are saying, God should consign them to that place. And they don't want to go there. Anytime Jesus wanted to send them there, they beg him. The evil spirits beg Jesus, don't send us there. The place evil spirits are afraid of going. Is that where you are planning to go?
And it will be a tragedy. At the end of the day, believer gets there. The devil will come and say, hey, you are here? David. Carry Jesus up and throw Satan away. Up Jesus. So you are the one singing those songs. You are here now. The enemy will double the punishment of such people. All those songs. And you say, well, you are trampling on our head. But now you are here. What are you doing here? I pray that nobody listening to my voice shall find his way to hellfire. Or shall find a way to hellfire. Look at your outline again. 30 Bible facts about hell. You need to look at it over and over again. Number one, it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Number two, it's a place of utter darkness. Number three, it's a place of torment. The Bible tells us that that rich man lifted up his head in hellfire. Say, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to put his finger in water and put it on my tongue. Say, for Father Abraham, I'm tormented in this flame. The brother said, no, no. You had your own time, you enjoyed, and now you are suffering. It's okay. If Lazarus cannot come, send somebody. Let me go and talk to my brothers. And warn them. This place is bad, oh. Don't come here. So, meaning that that man was a very nice man. A nice man can go to hellfire. A nice man, say, ha, this place is bad, oh. I don't want my brothers to come here. If he was a wicked person, let them die too and join the team here. That's what we'll have said. Abraham said, no, son. We can't send somebody there. He argued with Abraham. Father Abraham, let them go. He said, they will not believe them. But if somebody goes from the dead, they will believe. He said, no. Let them listen to the laws and the prophets. If they don't listen to those ones, even if somebody rose from the dead, they will not believe. I know if Yoruba people, when you know you bury somebody, then you saw him the next time carry microphone, say, come, come and hear where he's coming from. Ah, Yoruba will say, Akuda, Akuda, he's back again. They will listen. So here is a place of torment. Four, it's a place of sorrow. Five, a place of everlasting destruction. Six, a place where men are tormented with fire and brimstone. Seven, a place where the fire is not quenched. Eight, a bottomless pit. Nine, the place of no rest. Ten, the ultimate lake of fire. 11, a place of hopeless and unsatisfied desires. 12, a place of memory. 13, is a place of consciousness. 14, is a place of darkness. 15, a place of eternal separation from loved ones. 16, a place of no return. 17, a place of test. 18, a devouring fire. 19, a place of everlasting burnings. 20, a place of filthiness. 21, a place of blackness or darkness forever. 22, a place where men gnaw their tongues. 23, a place prepared for the devil and his angels. 24, a place where men drink the wine of the wrath of God. 29, a place where the wicked shall be turned into. 30, a place where human power cannot preserve from, can't preserve you from it. You can see those awful descriptions. Please, not to even contemplate going or moving close to going there. What are the conditions of those in hellfire? Very terrible conditions. Those in hell are twice dead. Already died a second death. They are being punished, condemned to destruction and ruin. Those in hell suffer shame, suffer disgrace. They suffer everlasting contempt. God's wrath is upon them. They are in agony. They are in torment. In hell, everyone there is salted with fire. Everyone in hell is burning. There is nobody who is not burning there. Then they are cut to pieces. Both body and soul are destroyed in hell. There they have no rest day or night. Therefore, it is certainly no wonder there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The trouble is this. This place that our outline is trying to describe to us using the Bible, and as terrible as the place is, a lot of people go there. To be quite honest, the Bible says the place had to be enlarged. In Isaiah chapter 5, look at what it says in verse 14. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp and it that is rejoiced shall descend into it. Unfortunately, many are longing to go to hellfire. But going to hell, really, beloved, is not very easy. It takes effort, sacrifice, and choice to go there. The question is, must you go there? Should you perish? Must your immortal soul get lost? Because the vehicle that is going to that hellfire is what you call flesh. The driver of that flesh is Mr. Lost. The price you pay in hellfire is your soul, which is a non-refundable deposit, is gone. That's why somebody described hellfire as truth discovered too late. Men have ridiculed hellfire. People even denied its existence. But when they find themselves there, they now realize that it was true. But the truth will be too late. Their doom is already fixed. A man of God had a dream. And in the dream, they took him to hellfire. When he got to the gate, he said, yes, anybody in this hellfire from Methodist Church? The angel at the door said, no. Is that about Baptist people? He said, they are not here. He said, Catholics? He said, they are not here. So I see. The angel now took him to somewhere else, found himself in heaven. Again, he asked questions. Methodists here? Said, no, they are not here. Baptists in this place? Said, no. Catholics? No. Pentecostal people? Said, no. Said, then if they are not in hellfire, they are not in heaven, where are they? The angel now said, those names you just mentioned, they're just labels on the bottom. They're just labels on the bottom. Here, that does not interest us. So those who are in hellfire are all sinners from every church, every denomination. And those who are in heaven are those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hell is worse than any picture anybody can draw of it. No matter what description anybody gives you, the person in that hellfire will not lose his or her memory. His memory will provide fuel for the hellfire. Abraham said to that rich man, "Say, son, remember, 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 remember when you went into that room alone. Remember what happened to you there. Remember you didn't come home to tell your parents. It shall be clear on that day. Many things that people are hiding will come out in the open." That rich man had to leave his money and all his possessions behind, but still had his memory. The murderer will remember the face of his victim. The cheat will remember those that have been cheated. Sin they are remembering will be adding fuel to their suffering, fuel to the hellfire. Beloved, there is an exit from earth if you want to get out of from earth. Anybody wants to die, there's many ways to die. There is an exit from heaven. Because Christ came down from heaven to die for our sins. Moses and Elijah came down from heaven to come and talk to Jesus. But there is no exit from hellfire. No exit there at all. Even in this modern world, as modern as it is, there are very large hospitals built to keep mad people. And there are very large prison houses. Kirikiri is one of them. Some prisons are so large that they are like an estate. What a shame to put men and women in such places of torment. What a shame to lock a man up for years. The man has been given life jail. Deprived of his freedom and privileges and liberties till he died. What a shame to have to separate a man from his family because you are locking the man up. And what a shame it will be at the end of the day when God has to lock up all his criminal into a prison called hellfire. Listen to me and listen to me very well. If you go to judgment seat unpardoned,
unpardoned, unsaved,
your blood will be on your own head. It's a solemn thought which bothers anyone who is a preacher of the gospel. That one day, all of us, including the preacher, all those who are preached to, one day, all of us will stand before that judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
You say, I'm a chorister.
Say, yes, since you have been singing, how many souls did you save?
Say, I'm a pastor.
Pastor. Pastor that counseling will go and see, and you will end up tearing their clothes.
Hey, I'm a deliverance minister.
Deliverance minister. Charging people money for deliverance.
Say, madam, we are praying for you now. Settle us.
Deliverance minister. You will appear there. I'll give an account. You will appear there and talk. Therefore, brethren, I must warn you. And I must tell you about these things. And you must understand why we are saying it. I've shared this here before, but let me share it again tonight. But that our friend, a medical doctor, married with children. One day, they were watching TV. His wife and the doctor just fell down and died. They are both born again. The wife was very disturbed. Cried. I said, oh God, this is not our agreement. Who will be looking after these children? Me alone? No. So she sat down there. And she had read in the Bible that when people die, they lay on top of them. That Elijah laid on top of a dead child. So she laid on top of the man and started praying. The man died around 7 a.m. in the morning. By 12 noon, this woman was still flat on top of him praying. The family people came, tried to drag her away. He's gone. They dragged her away. She refused to be dragged away. And they got fed up. Somebody suggested that, let's give her an injection so that she can sleep. She locked the door. Pushed the person out, locked the door, continued the prayer. By 7 p.m., the man woke up. The man is a doctor. The man now went about, this was as early, we're talking about, I'm telling you now, was 1975, 76. When this doctor now rose, this was the story he told us. He said immediately he fell down, found himself in very thick darkness, and that darkness was so thick you could almost cut it with a knife. But immediately he stood there for a few seconds. One creature grabbed his right hand, another creature grabbed his second hand, and they lifted him up a little bit and they were taking him away. Originally he was happy because he had read that angels can accompany the body of the soul of the departed to heaven. As they were taken away, his joy was short-lived when he began to feel heat on his face. I said, if these people are going to heaven, there will be no heat. And I said, excuse me, leave me alone, I'm a believer. I'm born again. The creature did not answer. And they took him and took him and took him to the pit. And they were about to throw him into hellfire. He said the kind of scream that was coming out of that place, that mere hearing those screams takes you to shiver. How? What kind of suffering is this? Making people to scream like this. They took him there and as they were about to throw him in, a voice stand there from above. Release him! And this creature quickly released him. Was the voice of the Lord. Immediately they released him, Lucifer came. And Lucifer said, oh God, you have no right to release this man. Because this man is free from all sins apart from one. And your word says, no unclean thing shall enter into heaven. So you have no right. It was the same Bible the devil quoted. The Lord now answered. Say, Lucifer, you are correct. The man is not coming to heaven. Because like you said, he has only one sin. And that sin, adultery of the heart. He didn't rape anybody, sleep with any man's wife, didn't have girlfriend. But right there in the laboratory of his heart, there was fornication, lust going on there. That's the only sin.
Where's one sin? The Lord said, we know. Say, so you are correct. Lucifer, you are correct. I will not take him to heaven, neither will I allow him to enter into the hellfire because of that woman. And they saw the woman still praying. It was then the man woke up. Immediately the man woke up, he abandoned medicine. All that is hell. The choice is yours. The same thing tonight. The choice is yours. The Bible tells about a wonderful heaven. It also talks about an awful hellfire. In hellfire, there will be no excuses. No one will claim that God has been unfair to them. No one will say that God has given them a raw deal. That rich man prayed in hell, Father Abraham. But like many modern men, he waited too late to obtain mercy. No. I have been invited to crusade meetings before where people refuse to pray. We have had to try hard to bring some people to attend prayer meetings. But in that day, the largest prayer meeting in the whole world. Because there will be a lot of praying in hellfire. They will pray then, but it will be an upside down prayer. It will be prayer that has been prayed too late. It will not be late for you in Jesus' name. If a person dies as a sinner, you may have had your last sermon. You might have read the last place you are going to read in the Bible, but you have not prayed your last prayer. All those things they say to Amrabah, say your last prayers. If they are going to hellfire, they still have more prayers to pray. But the beauty of what we are saying tonight is you do not have to go there. You do not have to go there. That person you call your fiancé or your boyfriend, anytime you are together, there is no prayer. You are just using hand to rub each other, kissing and petting. Both of you are candidates of hellfire. And if you are not careful, trumpet may sound even before you now do the proper marriage. And both of you will end in hellfire. This is why the marriage committee in this church is against long courtship. When it's long, sin will enter. Why must you decide to perish? Why must you decide to choose death instead of life? If you have ever attended a funeral service, which is one of the best places to preach the gospel, you can almost read the confusion in the eyes of those who are there. Sometimes I've stood by a grave looking at the faces of those who came to do the burial. Looking at them, confused faces. You could see that the faces are asking questions. Where has he gone now? What are they doing right now? Highly intelligent people who are not born again, when they get to funerals, they become uncomfortable. They become uncomfortable. Because they know there's something in this thing. Something else is wrong. Anyone who goes to hellfire is trespassing. Because it's not made for you. It's a personal decision. Hellfire was made for the devil and his angels. There is this judgment is going on every time now. Even today, judgment is going on somewhere in one form or the other. Nature has no mercy. If you violate the laws of nature, you pay the price. Hospitals themselves are filled with people who have violated the laws of nature. For example, if you climb a tall building and you jump down, you break your leg. Put your finger in fire, the fire will burn you, you get judgment. You say you're a prostitute now, or your person is sleeping with all kinds of persons. Catch HIV, that's judgment. If you sow the seed of sin, you reap the harvest of sorrow. Even in the life of men themselves have their own course of law. Sometimes if you get a clever lawyer, they can get you off the hook of the law, but not with God. Are you here, you still drink alcohol, you sell and you drink it, you're a candidate to hellfire. You are here, lust has gripped your soul. A candidate of hellfire. You are here. There is some hidden pet sins in your life that nobody knows about. You are a candidate to hellfire. You are here. There are things you are doing secretly. You will be highly embarrassed if we came here and show your film to the old church. Candidate to hellfire. Still engage in masturbation and exciting yourself. You are a candidate to hellfire. All those careless Christians, God's last payday is coming. This is how the preachers will be crying and crying and crying out. When you don't even know what is pursuing the preacher. You don't know what he has seen. A man of God saw a revelation. God took him to hellfire. And God brought out his own father. And he saw worms of fire going in and out. He saw his own father rolling on the floor crying. He watched his own father for 5 minutes. When the man opened his eyes, cried bitterly. Cried bitterly. And he decided that he would do his best to see that men don't go to that place. Look at the outline again. It talks about the six citizens of hell. Antichrist and the false prophets shall be there. All satanic angels shall be there. The wicked and all the nations that forget God shall be there. People ask questions, all these countries who are not Christian countries, God throw them into hellfire? The Bible said yes. Psalm 9 verse 17. God will throw them into hellfire. Psalm 9 verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. God does not mind turning a whole nation into hellfire. Hypocrites and unregenerated church members will be there. Unfaithful ministers shall be there. All other sinners shall be there. For once one gets to hell, there is no end to it. Look at the warning down below. Warning to avoid hell at all costs. Jesus gives us very serious warnings about avoiding hellfire. He said it would be better to be thrown into the sea and a millstone around the neck than to risk being sent to hell. Indeed, he warns us that it would be better to forfeit part of our bodies than to risk going to hellfire. We are warned not to fear others, but to instead fear God who has the power to throw into hell. Now, considering this Bible description of hell, it is hard to imagine why anyone would risk going there. Why will anyone risk such endless torment when God has provided a way to avoid it through the blood of his son Jesus? Beloved, hell. What is the way out? You don't want to go. What's the way out? Number one, repent from all your sins. According to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you continue in sin, you end up in hellfire. You must refuse to become the property of the devil. Number two, submit your life totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not there be any area of your life which is not submissive to God. A lot of people come to the church because they are coming there to preach. Some are coming because they are coming there to sing. In our former church, some are coming because they come there to beat drums. Some are coming because they have come there to play instruments. All other things about God, they are not interested. They just want to do what they want to do and get out. Such people are candidates of hellfire. Anybody who comes to a Christian meeting and you are a born again Christian, and you come without your Bible, no Bible, you have to be assured that you don't have plan to advance your destiny. And the person is not totally surrendered to the Lord. When the Lord says, sit down, you sit down. Stand up, you stand up. Don't go, you don't go. Submit your life totally. Number three, obey all of God's commandments. Obey all of God's commandments. These three requirements are not negotiable. Not negotiable. Repent from every known sin. Submit yourself totally to God. And obey all the commandments of God. If you do those three things, don't find yourself in this prison yard that the Bible calls hellfire. God told Isaiah to preach. But then God told him, this thing I'm going to ask you to preach, nobody will do what you are going to say. God said the same thing to Ezekiel. He just talk. Some will hear, some will not hear. A preacher is not responsible for what the listeners do about the message. A preacher is to proclaim the message. Paul said, necessity is laid upon me. You can force the horse to the waters, you can't force the horse to drink. I want you to understand the words that I've gone forth today. If you allow it to enter into your spirit and plant itself there, you will not draw back into perdition. Rise up on your feet. All eyes closed. There are people here who have things to sort out with the Lord. I leave you to sort yourself out with the Lord. Perhaps your heart is not right. Perhaps you are a secret sinner. Perhaps God has been commanding you, you have been disobeying the command. Perhaps you already have your own designated boyfriend or girlfriend, although both of you claim to be born again, but you are sinners. Perhaps as you are here now, you have seen the rapture before, but you did not go anywhere. Perhaps as you are here too, the Lord has abandoned you, doesn't talk to you again. No prophecy, no vision. The kind of life you are living before your God, smelling before Him. Talk to the Lord now. You better come down this evening from whatever height men have put you, yourself, and humble yourself before the Lord so that He can deliver you in due time. Whatever horse you have been climbing, come down from that horse and humble yourself before the Lord so that He can deliver you, and your life will now become kind of life that will glorify the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. As many people as are taking this issue seriously, I want them to raise up their voices louder than the person close to them. Hellfire shall not harvest my life. It's a serious prayer. Hellfire shall not harvest my life. In the name of Jesus.
Cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of Him? Her garment was totally white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? But I care not for riches of a silver or gold. I will make sure of heaven. I will enter the fold. The book of Thy kingdom, with its pages so fair. Tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Is my name written there on the page white and fair in the book of Thy kingdom? Is my name written there? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That songwriter says, Lord, I care not for riches,
neither silver nor gold. But I will make sure of heaven. I will enter the fold. In the book of your kingdom, with its pages so fair, tell me Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Is my name written there? On that page, white and fair, in the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? A great question. Jesus says, strive to enter the narrow gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that travel there, but few are they that find and travel in the narrow way. Narrow is that way, and few they that find it. You can decide to be part of the few that find it. It's a personal decision. You open your mouth again and pray this from your heart. Goliath of hellfire in my life,
in the name of Jesus.
Deal with the Goliath of Alpha. In the name of Jesus. Batese kate yabo shente raba. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Let a great revival start in my life. A great revival that will turn my life around for Jesus. Let a great revival start in my life. Oh God of revival, revive my life. In Jesus' name we pray. And let's share the grace in fellowship.
Eternity.